sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friend, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
All right, okay, take your time. Okay, I'm gonna take my time with this one, so bear with me. And before I start,
I am your king now.
Let's do this. You want to see a dead body? Okay, we try this again. Those who know what I'm about to recite are getting excited right now. So, and those who don't, brace yourself, because you're about to hear some.
Bonfire.
That was a little late, but okay, let's go. You want to see a dead body? Instrumental from my mama's Christmas party. Troubles on my mind. I smell crime. My brother's crying. Smokers repeatedly buy my Sega Genesis. Either that or my auntie was stealing it. Okay, I didn't know that part. Hit the pipe and start feeling it. Oh, weed cut me some slack. Weed never did that. This was different. Jeez Louise, please help me relax. Now this is the part where it gets exciting. Quantum physics could never show you the world I was in. When I was 10, back when 9 ounces had got you 10. And 9 times out of 10, niggas don't pay attention. And when it's tension in the air, 9 comes with extensions. 9 comes with extension, get it? My daddy turned a quarter piece to a 4.5. Took a L, started selling soap, fiends, bubble bath. Broke his nail, misusing his pinky to treat his nose. Shirt button open. Taco meat laying on his gold. I said, Daddy, one day I'ma get you right with 36 zips, 1,000 grams of cocaine, then your name will be rich. Now you can rock it up or sell it soft as leather interior. Drop some ice cubes in it, Debo on the perimeter. Oh my God, hold on a second. I gotta, woo, oh my God. Well, you know what, this needs a... burning the place down, man. Holy shit. Worse than a wildfire, man. New York, East Coast better get ready for more smoke. He said, son, how come you think you be my connect? I said, pops, your ass is washed up, with all due respect. He said, well, nigga, then show me how. It all makes sense. And he says, go figure, motherfucker. Every verse is a brick. Your son's dope, nigga. Now reap what you sow, nigga. Please reap what you sow, nigga. I was born in 87. My granddaddy's a legend.
Message.
Now the same shit that y'all was smoking is my profession. Let's get it. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. This and some. Oh, my God. More fire.
Fire.
Yes. All right. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak on Twitter, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. And one last aka B.Black on TikTok. Yeah, if you're a returning listener, you are so disappointed on how I fucked up that intro. It's not that bad. Go with the flow, man. All right. Fake it till you make it, B-Black. Before I start the show, I want to remind you listeners, you returning listeners, that this podcast is still, don't get it twisted, still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Gouge Bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on June 14, 2023 at, oh my God, 8.04 p.m. What is it, the little 20 degrees, 17 degrees out there? All right. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah. All right. I mean, I'm running a little behind. You can't tell. This is a midweek episode, so means I'm on a Wednesday. I'm recording on a school night, so I'm trying to wrap this up a little quicker than I would on the weekend. With that said, two things I just want to share in the intro is... So I mentioned it's today's June 14th, June 16th, which is a Saturday, the world will be coming together to honor and remember and think about Tupac's birthday. Yes, June 16th, 1971 is the birthday of one of the greatest to ever do it. And, you know, anyone who knows me, I'm a just huge fan of Tupac. So, we're going to use his birthday to think about how he died for our sins. All right. And last thing for dates to remember, 12 years ago, Game of Thrones. Actually, let me get the date. 12 years ago, that means Game of Thrones debuted Game of Thrones debuted on April 17th. Wait, what? Oh, right. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, yes. Game of Thrones debuted on April 17th, 2011, right? And ended on May 19th. But 12 years ago, because I'm trying to be like a professional podcast and get you the actual date. Like I'm... there we go. This makes more sense. Okay. Baylor, episode 9 of Game of Thrones, came out on June 12. All right, so 12 years ago, 2 days ago, that was episode 9 of Game of Thrones, and it was the episode where, spoiler alert, Ned Stark gets his head cut off. And I remember being confused by what the fuck kind of show I was watching. I mean, it wasn't enough to see a kid get pushed out of a window. to be like, what the fuck is this show about? But I remember being at episode 9 and not knowing what to expect. And episode 9, the main character gets his head chopped off and thinking, what? So in episode 10, he's going to pull off a resurrection? What the fuck's going to happen? They're going to avenge him all in one episode? What kind of show is this? Didn't realize the whole show was going to be based around this main character's head getting chopped off. Anyway, yeah, je me souviens. All right, Izemi, let's jump to, was I supposed to bring up something? It doesn't matter. Let's jump to news and random thoughts, and I'm going to try to make it a casual conversation with y'all, all right? So let's do this. Okay, let's go. All right, before I was recording today's episode, I'm a TV junkie. And to my latest addition in new TV shows, I think I'm going to start to like. I've done 2 episodes and I'm enjoying it. And it's called The Good Doctor. I enjoyed The Good Wife. I'm told it's from, I don't know if it's from the same people, but Good Wife, Good Doctor. Yeah, I started watching that show, and it's interesting. If I could summarize it, just watching two episodes, it's about a doctor who gets no bitches, but he's a good doctor. That doesn't make sense, does it, eh? Anyway, whatever. Yeah, so I'm starting to enjoy it. I'm just you know, it's a little tough for me getting used to the little weird kid in there, even though I'm a weird kid myself. But you know you're a weird kid when I'm calling you a weird kid. But it plucks at your heartstrings, and you know, I'm gonna reserve judgment. I'm not going to praise it nor criticize it or anything like that. Just saying, I just discovered The Good Doctor, so no spoilers, all right? Okay. What else do I got? Okay, next item. Oh, wow, yeah. So after this episode, I need to go pay my property taxes. Because the goddamn government, it's every time I pay taxes, I start to think about how the Americans have it better than us, man, because they pay less taxes. And they bitch more about their taxes. No. I'm only bringing this up because I need to remind myself to, I guess I should write this shit down, to pay it. But the other thing, too, is after I pay my taxes, especially property tax, which is kind of expensive, I like feeling like a white guy and start to think about all the immigrants in our country, and I think about how they're coming in my country and stealing my tax dollars. Yeah, I just like having, that's the only good for me that comes out of paying my taxes. I mean, yeah, sure, all the services that I get, but no, I like that moment where I feel like the white guy and bitch about the taxes and the immigrants in my goddamn country. All right. Okay. In a more positive, uplifting mood. So, right. In the intro, I talk about how I represented and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and TV and much music. So I'm trying to say that I am part of a unique black demographic, all right? And that's black folks who grew up in Canada, but in either in the nation's capital, Montreal, like in that region, like these kind of black folks. And I'm going to prove it, all right? I'm going to say a name. I'm a fan, huge fan of, I'm going to say a name, right? And because he just came out with a track, and this track is stuck in my head. It goes, tout le stress de la veille, ooh. J'ai pas besoin de tes conseils. Sans alarme de réveil. Sans le lendemain. Yeah. You know, I still haven't figured out who my target audience is for this podcast, but I do know it kind of helps. I do know you kind of need to be part of my unique demographic of black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV on TV. Meaning, in other words, is you kind of need to understand French. Like, I'm not sure if I should start translating all this shit, whether I'm talking to an English audience and I sometimes speak about another aspect of me is that, you know, I'm a French Canadian. Well, I mean, not like I'm a French Canadian. I mean, Franco-Ontarian, but I mean, not like by blood, but like community wise. When I used to do comedy, I had a joke about how I always started my show. I shout out the French Canadian in the audience, and I said, "Shit, yeah, I got nothing but love for all French Canadians. Well, all of them, minus their racist relatives. Cause yeah, man, unique brand of racism. But that's not the fucking point. Reason where I'm going with this is I wanted to celebrate, honor, shout out, and blah 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 all that to one of my favorite singers, Canadian. Growing up as a Canadian kid, I hated Canadian artists because they always suck. But so if I honor you as an artist, a Canadian artist, that means it's something significant. And this time it's Barnet Valsing. He used to be part of a group called No Deja and did collaborated with this rap group called Zubatik. And back in the 90s, in the early 90s, yeah, you know, those who know, right? It's a big deal. If you remember, I know you Yanks are listening to this going, what the fuck is he talking about? But deal with it, man. All right. And yeah, so he came out with a new song. I think he's on the verge of making a comeback into the music scene. I say comeback as an Ontarian. Who knows? I think he might have had. I haven't been following his career, but he recently came out with a new track called Le Lendemain. And I've been bumping it. Yo, that shit is nice, man. And there's a bit of, is the word nostalgia? Hold on a second. Nostalgia?
Message.
All right, yeah. Because when I think of him, I think about, you know, growing up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario. And, like, some of his music was a soundtrack for my youth. Anyways. Oh, right. I guess for you Yankees, how you would know him is he sang backup for Celine Dion. And the Queen of Canada. Well, I thought it was Queen Elizabeth. Yeah, for English Canada. French Canada, it's Celine Dion. Anyways, long story short, homie is moving on to doing his own thing, and he's got a single out called Le Lendemain. Now, I won't lie. First time I heard the track, it's him at a party, and I'm like, come on, who are you kidding, nigga? I mean, come on, man, you the same age as I am. Fuck you doing as a party, come on, man. If you go play something, do the grown and sexy angle. Then I heard an interview or a clip where he explained what the track is. I'm like, oh, now I can connect to it. Like, I don't have to feel like the creepy old guy listening to music like the kids like. But no, man, this music is like international. So Le Lendemain, for you freaking Anglophone, Le Lendemain means tomorrow, the tomorrow. Come on, son, in English, the tomorrow, Le Lendemain. Yeah, okay, I guess. English people, you don't say the tomorrow. But anyway, whatever. El tomorrow. Le Lendemain. Yeah. Tomorrow. That's the track. Tomorrow. But not like any tomorrow. It's more like his explanation. Pretty much. This is my interpretation of the track. It's pretty much him saying YOLO. Not you only live once, but when I heard his explanation for the track, it reminded me of being in my younger days, being at a party, and not the last thing on my motherfucking mind was tomorrow. So whatever problems I had, unbilled paid, pregnant chick, chick I may have gotten pregnant, or I'm lying, or beef I might have with, whatever, right? And you're at that party, the music is just jumping, like just being, you're just being in that moment. I find at this age, I have less of these moments where I'm just in the motherfucking moment, just enjoying myself. And then, yo, man, I mean, the closest I get to it is maybe on Fridays, 5 o'clock. And I don't say Le Lendemain, but I am saying, yeah, fuck that. That's a Monday problem. And then Monday comes in, whatever. Anyways, I love the track, love the concept. And the video, watched it in 4K. It was dope. The other reason I bring this up is because I actually know the guy, you know, okay, weird flex. I mean, I'm not trying to flex here, right? But him and I, we've known each other since we were kids, since we were babies. That's why it's another big deal. That's why I was trying to speak about him like I'm just some random fan. And but it makes more sense if I associate the fact that I've known him since we were like, yo, fuck, we family, fuck, all right? Since we were children. And I remember, maybe I should save this for final thoughts, but I'm just going to say is, I remember, this is his passion, singing, R&B. Like, I'm happy, I'm so happy. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're so happy of someone else's success, which lately has been rare for me. I think I'm growing old and bitter. But in this particular case, you know, I'm happy for this guy. But what I'm thinking about is how this is his passion, and how he chose to make a song about, you know, just being in the moment and whatever cares you have for tomorrow, fucking deal with it then. And I was thinking about how if I was in his shoes, if I was the R&B singer, basically my song would suck. Not just that because I can't sing, but I mean, it would be more about how, yeah, I'm pretty much the shit you hear on this podcast. Some shit would be depressing. It wouldn't be the kind of shit that, like, it wouldn't be some uplifting shit. It'd be like, yeah, my track would be fucking focused on tomorrow, the bills you can't pay, the fucking the mold, what do you call that? The bruise you have, or your back pains, your knee, why is it not working? Is that a lump? Am I gonna die? life sucks. You know what I mean? I was just thinking about how the whole concept of self-expression, how we were both the same age and he's singing about that and I'm talking about this. It's just a contrast. You know what? I'm going to save this for final thought because, I'll save it for final thought because I got some... I think this episode is going to be final thought heavy. All right. So keep going. So yeah, shout out to Baldev. Dope ass song. Link to the track. Oh, you know what? Oh my gosh. Shame on me. Link to the track is in. Oh, that's the beginning. Yeah. It's got a dope. Oh, wait, hold on. Boom, 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 boom. Some people have said that it has a Bruno Mars, French Bruno Mars sound to it. I don't know. It sounds dope. That's a bad thing to say, but I'm just, I am kind of surprised that, actually, who are his producers? If it's a white guy, I'm going to be like shocked. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, when I was a kid, I used to, be shocked at the fact that white people can make music. Yeah, whatever. Call me racist. Well, I don't give a fuck. For all the N-words I've taken. And because it didn't make sense that how can you make something that you don't know how to behave to? You know what I mean? Like, how can people who can't dance make good music? You know what I'm saying? It was just random thought. That's just a random thought. That was, but I'm grown now. I'm grown now, all right? I've gotten over it. But if you're producing, you make a dope ass beat, I might give you a like, what the fuck? I might give you a hateration look. Anyways, all right. So the link to the video is in the show notes, and yeah, enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. And if this is the first time you hear it and you come across Bartnev, tell him B Black sent you. All right. Okay. This is strictly pure random thought. I mean, I jacked this random thought from Reddit, random thought subreddit. Maybe I should give credit to the user, and his name is Tinker Bloom. That's what I say. Anyways, yeah. This shabby thing goes, some boys have probably seen more naked women on the internet now than powerful kings in the past. Let me tell you something. I have consumed a lot, and I mean a lot of pornography. I mean, to the point that if there is a hell and people who watch pornography are going to hell, I might as well make reservation. Let me just book my room, whatever. Let's make the paperwork. Let me get the paperwork out of the way. But yeah, I've watched a lot of naked women. And if there's a king in the past, I mean, King Solomon ain't got shit on me. If there's a king out there who's seen more naked chicks than I have, wow, that's impossible. Because like I said, a lot of porn. Aren't you ashamed, B? I'm past it. I used to, but I'm past it. Whatever, fuck it. YOLO! Le lendemain. How's it say? It goes, tout le stress de la veille. That means all the stress from yesterday. Wait, la veille. No, la veille. La veille de Noël. The day before. I'm not going to look it up. J'ai pas besoin de tes conseils. See, that's interesting that he says that because he grew up Christian. You know, what's funny is how our parents were all against, you know, being in the music business. But once he showed them the check, all of a sudden the parents were like, oh my God, you a star now. They caught the vapors. What else? I just random thought again. It just hit me, man, on my journey into ex-Christianism. I can't remember some clip that I saw on TikTok. I forget, but it made me realize, like, why the fuck would I worship the same God my slave owners worship? You know what I mean? Yeah, I might make a bit out of it, but yeah, man, why the fuck would I do that? The same God that kept them safe at night. The same God. I'm sure slave owners were praying, "Dear God, please make sure that these crazy these negros don't kill us at night." And then, and he fulfilled their prayers. I mean, why the fuck? Dear God, make sure these slaves know their place. Bang. You know what I mean? Yeah. Fuck you and your cracker, Jesus. All right. This next clip, red flag. I labeled it why I stopped dating. What's interesting is growing up, I was very social, and I was big on a quest of finding Mrs. Wright. I used to believe that it was an ingrained belief that I was going to be that married guy. I think all my friends had that notion because I was the quote unquote nice guy. And everyone saw me. Even I believed it myself that I'll get more into that, right? As the safe guy. He's the guy who's going to have diapers. He's going to have to pick up diapers. He's the guy who's going to be in the minivan and soccer practice, badass kids, and, you know, with a drain and shit like that. And fast forward to today, and none of that shit happened. But it is interesting how I used to, how do I say that? Like romance? I would watch the rom-com, listen to R&B, and I would buy into those lyrics about, you know, finding that one. And I'm kind of surprised, like, there was a thought where I realized, where did that passion, where did that feeling, where did that, it's like, it's kind of like, I used to like, you know, I remember I used to like playing with G.I. Joes, and now I don't. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, you know, that verse, now I became an adult. So it's like, it's the one thing that I'm surprised that just went away. I would have never, it's kind of like my love for clubbing. I used to love clubbing. I don't think I would have been able to imagine my future self not enjoying clubbing. So same thing for relationships, right? And shout out to this homegirl, this clip that I just watched, and she just reminded me out of all right. Like, out of the billion reasons why I ended up being like, what's the word? Relationship phobic? This is one of them. I'm going to play this clip of this liberal, of this lady just saying some ridiculous shit. And it's like, I don't trust my ability to not end up with this kind of red flag, or to I don't trust myself to not ignore red flags like these. And here we go. Here we go.
Do you want to know one of the saddest realizations I recently had? Was that as a liberal woman, it is really hard to find a man who is willing to play the more traditional masculine role in the relationship in today's day and age. Who is not a conservative? A man who wants to pay on the first date, who wants to open your door, who has that want and desire to take care of you and to provide. Who is not a conservative? And obviously, as a liberal woman, I do want to be respected for my independence. And I do want to have my own autonomy in the relationship and not be confined or conform to the traditional female homemaker childbearing role. And most of the men that I've dated who do have that more natural provider masculinity about them are normally conservative. So I don't really know what to do because I don't want to compromise my morals and values just to find a man. But am I asking to have my cake and eat it too?
You know what? I'm glad I don't see her name. I'm not going to give her a TikTok name, whatever, right? Because it's not her necessarily that I'm against. Not the human being. I don't know her from Adam. It's the... Okay, well, fuck it. I'm going after. It's like her. It's the... And put it this way. Any grown man who listens to her, knows it's a red flag. So maybe I should give myself a little credit. Young men are likely to might hear this. This is how you know you're young. If you heard her and you told yourself, challenge accepted. I think that's what it is. So answering my question about why I stopped dating is because I'm still thinking that I'm still my young self who would make the mistake of entertaining she's hot. That's it, right? Because she's a pretty woman. But fuck. It's like at a young age, you like character is irrelevant. Is she hot? She got a fat ass, huge tits. That's all that counts, right? And, Okay, let me just try to be more specific. It's not the fact that she's liberal. Well, conservative is an issue, right? It's not the fact that she's liberal. It's more the fact, or claims to be liberal. It's more the fact of, she doesn't know what she wants. She is, I mean, there's definitely, again, I don't know her from scratch. So this is all personal. It's more, she reminds me of the girl who says, I want a bad boy to treat me right. Not to say there's not a bad boy who'll treat you right, but I'm just saying, this is the problem with this podcast. I mean, when I speak, I don't, because I'm fine. I'm just gonna say it and pray that it makes sense to someone's ears. All right, it's the contradiction. There's paradox. There's one thing for paradox, but it's I want this, but don't want the, I want water, but it can't be wet. I want fire, but it's gotta be cold. I want go up, but I gotta start down. You know, and it's not necessarily her that's the problem. It's more the young person. That's who I'm mad at. The young person who will listen to that, take her seriously, and be like, challenge accepted. I'm gonna show you, homegirl. Yo, basically what she's saying is she said, I wanna date someone. She said, it's a trap. It's a fucking trap. People like her end up realizing that, for all I know it, this might just be some, like, clickbait. This might just be a low-key. It's kind of like part of me wanting to be Christian, holding on the last days of being Christians, right? When before I became an ex-Christian. During the last days, the only appeal I had to remaining Christian was just so I could criticize people on behalf of just so I could say, yeah, Christianity sucks, you Christians suck, you Christians ain't shit, blah blah blah, and just say, it's okay for me to say it because I'm Christian. So I guess what I'm just getting at is, okay, yeah, I'm just gonna wrap this up with, and maybe tap myself, give myself a little bit of credit that I'm smart enough to know that right there is a red flag. And again, don't take my word for it. Figure it out for yourself. But it's a fucking trap, man. She ain't no liberal. She ain't no conservative. This lady does not know who or what she wants. She's just, look, man, I'm a pretty woman, and I'm gonna, and I just want to make some motherfucker jump through some hoops. But anyway, whatever. Figure it out for yourselves. I figured it out for myself. And it was just a rant. You know, this video got me enough if for me to include it as an item on the rundown sheet. But I digress. All right. This next clip, I'm just going to play it just for the audio. All right. And it's a teacher pretty much wrapping up and saying, yo, fuck it. A teacher in Florida talking about, this is why I quit this fucking job, man. If you've been following the news, yeah, man, teachers in Florida have been teachers in North America are going through some hard time because a whole bunch of people are like, they don't need to get paid. They don't deserve to get paid well. Anyway, whatever. But I just love the words of this teacher, and I feel the need to share it with y'all. So here we go. It's a CNN clip, and they'll go into it.
To show both of you something. We had first reported on this earlier in the week. This is a very red county in Florida, like a plus 41 DeSantis county last time he ran. 50 teachers have quit. Let me show you what one of the teachers said was the reason why.
No one is teaching your kids to be gay. Sometimes they just are gay. I have math to teach. I literally don't have time to teach your kids to be gay, even if I cared enough to. I don't. I want to teach them literacy and numbers. Numeracy, if you will. If you've spent time in a classroom, you'd know it's hard enough to get your kids to put their name on their papers. We do not have the power to change a part of them that has always been part of them. Students don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Every single one of them. Gay, straight, black, white, Asian, trans, all of them. And I love them all exactly as their weird little selves are.
I mean, I said the other day I would try to find a way to play that every day. It's just a beautiful, beautiful mission statement for the life of a teacher. Right.
All right. Okay. You can watch the rest of this clip. Find the links in the show note. But what's the name? I don't know the name of the anchor lady, the person on CNN who's speaking, but she pretty much said everything that I wanted to say. It's an anthem. Yeah, man, teachers don't have time to teach your fucking kids what they already are. It just bothers me that the world that we... It just bothers me people... Excuse me. People who villainized homophobia. I guess, I'm at a point where it bothers me. I'm at a point. It's ignorance, it fucking drives me nuts. That's my... interesting. Ignorance drives me nuts. Maybe that's one of my values. Okay, I'm going to get... Again, all this is just to sum up for final thoughts. So I'm about to jump to the next segment called Final Thoughts. Next segment of this podcast. And before I do that, I won't play this clip, but I call it Moment of Clarity, Moment of Positivity. And it's essentially... I'll describe it. Oh, man, they removed it? Yeah, this thing was under Made Me Cry. And I'll just describe it, but you can watch the video for yourself. The caption reads, "The kindest acts are absolutely free." And essentially, it's a man who's on an escalator at the top of an escalator heading down. And he's hesitant about going under. It's like he's never tried an escalator. And... people are trying to get on the escalator, and he goes, "Oh, go ahead. Basically, he's treating the escalator like it's a ride, okay? And then he's scared. And then finally, this one man comes on and says, "Hey, you need some help?" And he says yes. They're not speaking English, by the way. And he goes, "All right, okay." He's pushing a stroller. He asks his wife to take the stroller, and he grabs the man's hand and goes down with him. His son, the man who's helping the guy on the escalator, his son's there. And he says something cute about how he goes, because he's helping his dad help the guy. And he says, "Don't worry, I'm Batman." Look, I'm a sensitive type, man. That kind of shit just like, I get it, man. Yes, it's under / Made Me Cry. But it's just, I guess I needed to be reminded of, or needed to watch. I watch a lot of shitty videos of people doing shitty things. And every once in a while, it feels good to see something like that. Just human beings just helping another, two complete strangers helping each other out. It just, yeah. Ça monte le moral. I don't know how to translate that in English. It elevates the morals. It makes me feel good. Bottom line, makes me feel good. All right. Okay. All right. Let's jump to, this is me checking the levels. Checking the mail. Okay, we're good. Let's jump to news and random... No, excuse me. Final thoughts, all right? Let's do this. Ooh, oh my God. This water feels good. Maybe drink water and it, like, your body just thanks you for it. Hey, real quick, I'm thinking of... I need funds. Time's getting hard. And I'm thinking of making final thoughts... part of my Patreon. Of course, I'll give it another name, right? Like, the podcast would just be intro and news and random thoughts and other shit. But final thoughts, because final thoughts is where I get more intimate. Final thoughts is what is more what this podcast is about. Like, in the previous segment, I'm sharing you my thoughts, but in this one, I'm really trying to get personal. For example, I will, this week in therapy, a significant, I'll probably say half the session, I spent it in tears. Now, I'm telling myself that I won't tell you what led to the tears, but what I will tell you is, I was speaking about something with my therapist, and I said, it won't make sense, but that's my point, right? Okay. I labeled this segment or this part of the podcast Rationalizing My Tears. And what happened is I just said something in relation to the podcast and I could feel something coming up inside me being emotional. It's that, I don't know if you're a man who hasn't cried, who's mastered the ability of repressing their tears, then you probably might have difficulty relating to this. But what happened is I'm trying to stop myself. I'm trying to embrace my tears. Shout out to Life Jennings, who's got a song about crying. And shout out to, what's his name? The author of the book, Crying Like a Man. Basically, I'm trying to treat tears, crying like as natural as farting. You know what I mean? But the young boy in me repressed it. So I'm trying to get comfortable with crying. So I was saying something and I felt that, let's pretend like that emotion. Basically, I felt that thing that leads to crying that I usually automatically, fuck that, get that shit out the way. You know what I mean? If crying was, I've heard porn stars talk about how the reason they can last long is they can control that feeling that makes them want to, you know, when you get close to wanting to nut, they know how to be like, "Whoa, okay, hoo-yah," you know what I mean? Like, dodge that bullet. It's like, yeah, fuck that. So I can't do that with nothing, but I could do that with crime. Anyways, so I was speaking something in relation to my podcast, and that feeling came up. And I told myself, I promised myself, okay, wait a minute. Actually, my therapist told me that. She said, "Yo, dude, next time you feel like crying, let it out. Better you cry here than on the outside." And so I made a pact with her. All right, fine, I'll let you know. And I'm just speaking normally. I'm like, whoa, what's going on, right? The tears wanted to come up. And what was difficult in that moment is I couldn't understand why the fuck I would be getting emotional over a statement, over something that I said. Again, I was speaking in relation about the podcast. And I couldn't make sense of it. Because I couldn't make sense of it, there was like a part of my body that was like, nah, fuck that. It's kind of like there's a part of my brain that's like, that's negotiating. There's a part of my brain that's like, there's a request. My brain that processed the request for tears, all right? And there's a lot of bureaucracy in that with that motherfucker. And the request for tears came out. And that part was like, okay, what's your business case? What's your justification? I couldn't figure out an answer. I couldn't make sense of those tears. So I kept stopping myself. I felt shame. I was pushing it back. And my therapist was like, nah. Roll with it. And I'm like, middle finger, fuck that. It's amazing in that moment we were playing tug of war. She was like, no. Let the emotion take control. And I'm like, hell no. I need to know before I cry. I need to know why I'm crying. You know why I need to know? Because I need to justify. Because if I'm crying over some bitch-ass reason, if I'm crying for a reason that I believe is not justified, then I'm not going to cry. Fuck that. You know what I mean? People are watching. I got a public to. I'm not going to go on the podcast and talk about how I cried like a little bitch because I heard the sound of a fucking fire alarm. You know what I mean? It just didn't make sense. But the only reason I chose to trust her because my curiosity kicked in and being like, why the fuck are you? Okay, maybe whatever answers I'm looking for is at the end of those tears. Bro, man, it was a fucking moment, man. I was like, of course I'm making jokes. I am, you know, trying to because of shame. I'm embarrassed and all that shit. There's a tug of war going along. Towards the end, the tears came out, but not like, it still hurt because there's a part that's still holding on and say, yo, fuck, stop crying. Yo, there was a civil war going on the inside. One side is like, fuck you, no fucking crying. Not until we figure this shit out. And another one, like, it's like, no, we'll let you cry, but we just need a fucking reason. I need a diagram. And the other one is like, nah, let's just see where this goes. The other one was just, let's see where this goes. So there's a fight going on. I remember being choked up, like it hurt because the fight was causing like pain inside. So I'm half crying. That's what I'm trying to get at. Whatever, right? Half crying. And even though that battle, but the crying side won. I suspect I know why I was crying because I tell you what, it's because... No, I'm not going to go into why, but I'm just going to jump to the next segment. I said, it had me thinking about why the fuck am I doing this podcast? What's it all about? Holy shit. I just figured this out. My first episode of this podcast, I called it The Manifesto. And I joked about how, yo, fuck it. I said, yo, some people shut up their school. Me, I put out a podcast. I'll be honest. I'm still not clear on why I'm doing this podcast. I just know I feel a need to. I have no idea what I'm doing will attract an audience, will actually work, will be worthwhile. I have no idea if I do this shit and I won't look back and be like, yo, fuck, that was a stupid idea. The fuck was that? This was the dumbest idea. Like, usually when I have an idea, it starts with a brilliant idea with, oh yeah, I'm gonna rock. It's kind of like, yo, shit, I'm gonna rock these niggas. No, I'm starting with a bad idea. I have no plan. Yo, I ain't getting any investors for this, because if they ask me what this podcast is about, I can't explain. Yo, I still picture myself. I think of everyone that I've podcasted with and explaining it to them. No, fuck, I'd lose that argument. They'd be like, oh, I can still, all of them, picture that look of either confusion of, what the, like, huh? So you're trying to make a, you're trying to be a bitch? No, you're trying to do this? You're trying to, you know, like, I can't. The only faith I have is, I think of that scene in Social Network. Is it Social Network? Let me make sure I call it. No, it's basically that movie about Facebook. Make sure it's called Social Network, right? And yeah, Social Network. And the guy who plays Mark Zuckerberg, and he says, because his business partner's trying to figure out how to monetize his new invention that wasn't known as, at the time, it was called The Facebook. And he says, we still don't know what this fucking thing is yet. That's what I'm saying. This is what this podcast is for me, man. I can't sell it to anyone. The only one who seems to be like, to make sense of it, is my crazy therapist. She's like, nah, I think you're onto something. I have no idea where the fuck I'm going with this shit. But I did start thinking about it, and that's where the tears started to come up. I mean, like, it's still like unclear what I'm doing, but I know it's real enough that it triggered, once I figure it out, it triggered tears, because I remember telling myself, okay, at the very least I kind of hope the people I end up connecting with find this shit funny. Not like, not laugh at me funny, but laugh with me funny. Cry with me funny. Roll with me funny. See, the conversation started about how, like, what are my values? What are, like, my mission statement? Where the fuck, what is the one, if I was to burn this podcast, set it on fire, the one, the last component that would last, the things that, you know how, 50 Cent is like, get rich or die trying. What's my goal? What my value is. So 50's value is to get rich, and win or lose, if I fulfill, if I succeed, you know, win or lose, just trying to reach out for it is success enough for him. I mean, you know, you want to get to the end goal, right? But just reaching out for it. And I guess what I'm saying is, what the fuck am I trying to reach out for? Now, I did say a lot of vague shit on my first episode of this podcast. The only thing I know is, I just know that I hope this leads to a community. And when I said community, just a bunch of people who are like, yeah, I know what you mean. I hear you. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. See, part of what I do on this podcast is I say shit that most people keep to themselves. I probably say shit that I should keep to myself. And my purpose is not for attention, but it's more to get someone else to be like, I know what the fuck you're saying. Yes, yeah, I've been. It's kind of like, I'm that guy who's raising his hand in the class and asking that question that everyone thinks is stupid. But everyone is like, oh, I was thinking the same fucking thing. What is the difference between a 4.0 and a 4.6? You know what I mean? I'm like, shout out to you JC fans. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the one saying, yeah, I just, okay. All I know is part of this target audience, I was thinking of this is people who have difficulty taking space. I can relate to that. I'm not going to preach to you. Don't. This is more like, I'm not preaching. This is more, I preach what I practice. Practice what I preach? No. Practice what I preach. No, I preach what I practice. I mean, talk about the shit that I know. I know what it's like to be scared to take up space. I was thinking of Stephen Covey's book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And was it habit 5 or 4? Think win-win. And he goes, there's a whole chapter about developing the mindset of thinking win-win. And win-win means not being win-lose or lose-win. Win-lose is pretty much like you and I make a deal and it works out for me, but you lose out in there, right? And lose-win is I lose out in the deal and you win out, and you're the winner in there. Now, there are people who can't relate to having a lose-win mentality. Actually, fuck it. They don't want to relate. They just want to take advantage of those kind of people. I remember when he was explaining, like, I'm closer to be a lose-win person than I am to being a win-win or a win-lose type of person. Like, if there's a transaction, yeah, call me a sucker, whatever, right? If there's a transaction, sometimes I would rather be the person who loses and still save faces than being the one who wins and feels guilty over it. That doesn't make sense. So what I'm getting at is people could relate to wanting to be being in the lose-win. I'm not saying I can speak for all of you. I'm just saying I'm drawing like a Venn diagram or a huge circle. I'm looking on the map, but that's one trait of my tribe. Lose win. I'm not saying we're losers. I'm just saying, no, it's not that you're just about losing, but you're like growing out of it. It's more, yeah, you got to have a need to grow out of it. Don't want to be preached to about it, but just like you've reached a point where you're like, you know what? I think I deserve better. I think I should be getting better. I think you're not at, no, fuck that, no more, I'm win-win from now on, or win, I'm fucking people over from now on. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you're starting to doubt your ways, but to the point where you're starting to, like, take action. You're between that line between taking action and having a strong desire to take action. Another thing I do on this podcast is I'm trying to do is highly sensitive people, especially men. Like, we've grown up being like especially men who've grown up highly sensitive, but were in denial of it, and now they're just trying to embrace it. I recently joined a subreddit called and it's like for highly sensitive people. And yeah, fuck, it's my tribe right there, man. People just, I had a situation today where I made a joke with a coworker, and I honestly thought this joke was fucking hilarious. I was laughing at it and blah, blah, blah. And the coworker did not, well, he didn't laugh, but not only did laugh, but his response made me feel like shit for making that joke. Now, I get the feeling, I'm going to assume, it's the equivalent of me making a joke about, hey, your mama's so fat. Like, my mom's dead. Oh, oops. it was something like fucked up like that, right? And I hate those people who make jokes at other people's expense. I felt like shit. Let me put it this way, because I made an assumption about this person's character, and long story short, it's kind of like, oh my God, where I'm going with this is I felt like shit and it fucked up a portion of my day. But I knew that was the highly sensitive that was reacting in me. Like, I was trying to, like, I just kept thinking about how the average human being would have gotten over this shit. But for me, it was fucking with me. And not just, and I want to be, it's not because it was a bad joke. It's not because, It's not because it was a bad joke. It wasn't bad taste or whatever. But it was just more of, oh, dude, I'm not that kind of person. Seriously, had I known you were in this, had I known you were looking for people to empathize, to sympathize, to be compassionate in your situation, oh, man, not only would I have not made that joke, but I would have been, had I known you needed, not healing, but the last thing you need. Okay, all this to say that it fucked up my day, and it just reminded me how, oh, wow, that's what it is, being highly sensitive. You overthink this shit. You can't let it go. Everyone else would have let it go. Would have, you know, I'm sure if I bring this up, my coach, he'll be like, oh, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Oh, shit, that old shit? Damn, that happened 10 years ago. But me, it was just fucking with me. And the thing is, there are other people who are like that. So, yeah, highly sensitive people. And, I crossed off all the threes. But bottom line is I'm still not sure where I'm going with this podcast. It's kind of like when I was crying. That's why I was laughing earlier. It's kind of like when I was crying. I didn't know where these tears were going to lead me. I just knew these tears needed to come out. So kind of like, I don't know where this podcast is going to lead me. I just know I just need to keep at it. And here's the thing. Because what bothers me about this podcast, because I know I'm setting myself up for humiliation, embarrassment, misunderstanding. Oh, yeah, I can see people taking some of these clips and being like, oh, B Black hates Whitey. You know what I mean? I say on this thing that I won't back. I guess that's what the beauty about. Ain't shit on this that I'm not willing to back. It is what it is. It's my true side. Love me or leave me the fuck alone. Yeah, besides knowing all this, I still feel the need to do it. I don't know if you can relate to that, but that's where I'm at, man. That's where I'm at. All this to say that the tears that I cried, my therapy session just reinforced the idea that I need to, like, really narrow down. Like, what the fuck are you trying to accomplish with this podcast? And it's frustrating not knowing, but I just keep going, man. Just moving forward. That was a terrible, I don't know what accent I was trying to do, but doesn't matter. Whatever accent I was trying to imitate, it sucked. All right, okay. Damn, I hate when I speak longer than I needed to, but here we are. Okay, last but not least, let me get into what's up with the title. You know, I hate when I forget to link the title. I am going to fix that right now. De la veille. Ooh. Oh, fuck. It's called. Okay, hold on. Okay, all right. Okay. So today's title came from a track by Pusha T featuring Kendrick Lamar. Yes, I know. This is what? Second or third episode where I, in a row that I quote some Kendrick Lamar. I'm just as shocked as you are. I still remember. You know what's funny about Kendrick Lamar is, when he first came out, I wasn't a fan of the guy because I didn't understand his concept. But the day he got my attention is when he was doing a cipher, nostalgia. Sorry, man. I shout out to you, patient listeners, man. All right, okay. What was I saying? Oh, right. Kendrick got by on my radars is he was doing a cipher with on BET and Snoop Dogg. Yes, I remember. Snoop Dogg, Corrupt, and DJ Quick were there. There might have been another rapper. But what I loved about it, because it was unique at the time, is Kendrick was like fucking top of his game. Like, he was what Biggie was to New York. Like, he was a fucking big name in hip-hop at the time, right? And he did a cipher, and what I love about the cipher is he respected his elders. That's what I liked about it. So in the cipher, they made sure they had Snoop, DJ Quick, and Corrupt sitting at the table as the OGs. And he allowed himself, even though he was a big name, most rappers at the time were like, fuck, Fuck tradition. Fuck whatever. I'm number one. You need to respect that. All right. Fuck you, old guy. And I love the fact that he allowed himself to be in this video because he's humble, right? And him, I can't remember who the other rapper was that was with him, but they were on the side. They were like, so if you think of what's that movie called? Goodfellas, right? Little Henry, when Henry was up and coming, and he was just, before he became a gangster, he was the snot-nosed kid. Yo, go get us some cigarette. Go get us whatever, right? So he allowed himself to be like, hey, the gangster at the table, and he was the one standing up on the side, just on stage. Like, he showed himself to be the rook. For me, it was a big deal for me. And it was that's when I decided to, okay, you know what? All right, let me see what this young nigga got has to say. And from there, it's been nothing but love. And also, especially that he calls himself a Machiavelli offspring. Yeah, nothing but love, man. Anyways, all this to say, this is me justifying why I've been using Kendrick Lamar for the title of this episode. Okay, right. So the track that I recited and where the title 87, My Granddaddy's a Legend, comes from the track Nostalgia. And there's a verse, and that verse that I took was from, or that I butchered, was by Kendrick Lamar. And what did I say? I've been looking up. Oh, right, okay. Two reasons why I picked it, right? I picked this title is because, one, it's episode 87. and as corny, yes, and every time I hear the word, the number 87, I think of that verse by Kendrick Lamar. I was born in 87. My granddaddy's a legend. That's the number, obvious reason, right? Second reason is, I love when he says my granddaddy's a legend because it had me thinking about when I was at my granddad's, my grandfather's funeral. And okay, granted it was a small church, but that motherfucker was packed. He's from Haiti. The funeral was in Canada, and despite the fact that it was in Canada, the place was packed. He was, sure, my grandfather, right? And I guess, yeah, because he grew up in the church. I learned a lot about him, how he was a deacon, how this one guy told me this story about how there was a flood. Because he's from, my granddad, my parents grew up in a small village in Haiti. Well, I don't know how, it's a village. They call it a village, right? And they were talking about how there was a flood, and he has this memory of how my granddad picked him up and put it, you know, not saved him, but like helped him out, you know what I mean, during the flood. He was like, he was a kind man. He was known as a kind man. He was in service. He was a servant of God. Like, yeah. I didn't know my granddad that much. It didn't help the fact that my Creole sucked, but I didn't know him much, but I learned a lot about him at the funeral. And just a lot of people were just grateful for this soul. And so in a way, it was my way of saying, yeah, I guess my granddad was a legend. Well, not in those ways. But it had me think about my identity. This is who you are. That man in that coffin is a symbol of who, the kind of human being you are. Now, it also had me thinking about how, I think my granddad was a farmer, deacon, helped out in the church, father, man of the community, and shit like that, right? All that corny shit. And that's my identity. And had me thinking about how I've grown up, I've never known that about him, right? But I grew up idolizing rappers who I had nothing in common with, right? Tupac, I mentioned Tupac. You know, love him as a rapper and everything like that, but his life, my life, are not the same at all. I mean, I like to lie about the fact that I'm about that thug life, but it's full of shit. If you hear me talk about I'm a thug, I'm lying or trying to get out of a parking or trying to get out of I'm trying to intimidate a white boy who's intimidating me. An episode ago, I recited a verse by, oh yes, the episode where I said cursed by every spirit, and there's a line by Rakim where he says how he goes through his family trees, hustler, thugs, drug dealers, con artists, all these criminals, all right? Tupac also has got a line. He goes, panthers, pimps, pusher thugs, That's my family tree. Got nothing but love. Now, I'm not speaking against that, right? But it's fucking not hypocritical, but it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's so phony on my part to recite those verses. I'm not going to speak about their, let me put it this way. I used to be ashamed of the fact that, great man, I grew up a bunch of fucking taxpaying, law-abiding losers who went to church and shit and took care of their wives and there were great husbands and all that, and you know, fulfilled their duties, were community men of community. Like, it was kind of a shame. Like, it's not, I mean, man, I can't put this on rap. I can't rap about that kind of shit. All this to say that I guess this is the beauty about getting older, is you develop a self-confidence. I guess you appreciate yourself better, more, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. I remember I joked about it. So I remixed Pac's lyric where he says, Panthers, Pips, push your tugs. That's my family tree. I think I said deacon, priest, farmers and nurse. That's my family tree. Got nothing but love. You know, I guess I'm on a journey into self-acceptance. And it's like, high five, you know, I'm not here to judge. Maybe I should. maybe we feel good. It's like, oh, your dad was a criminal? Oh, gross, whatever, man. It is what it is. It is what it is. If there are fighters in my family, I'm sure there are, but I'm just like, I guess I wouldn't know because, you know, most of them are dead. But it was just, shout out to our families. I guess that's what I'm just trying to say. Shout out to families or the people who made us who we are. Shout out, you know, honor your family tree, bottom line. Yeah, this is just me trying to, I love that line by Kendrick. And at the same time, I'm using it to honor my own family lineage. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not, okay, a lot of Christian women getting hot about this shit. Oh, so you're saying your pappy was a great ideal Christian man. Yeah, but I also got family members who are, how do I say this, Rolling Stones. I mean, I got a lot of half-cousins out there, apparently. But that's not the fucking point. That's not the point. That's just me answering the question, what's up with the title? The reason I chose that title, because it was dope. Bottom line, it was just dope. Okay, leave it at that. Now, I was going to play, I said number 87. I was going to play this clip called Hidden Numerology in Kendrick Lamar's Verse Revealed. And then, but then I looked at the time and remembered that this is a school night. So I'm going to leave it in the show notes. You can click on it and check it out for yourself. But yeah, Kendrick is a motherfucking genius. Like some real Hotep shit. Like if you're into math, if you're into like the 360 degrees of knowledge and shit like that and conspiracy, like it's just, Kendrick Lamar is a very intelligent rapper, and he puts in a lot of thoughts into his lyrics, all right? It's not like some Rick Ross shit. No disrespect to Rick Ross. Okay, I guess it's kind of disrespectful, but fuck it. That's the same guy who rapped about, you know, putting roofing chicks. Actually, both Kendrick and Pusha T, man, they put a lot of thoughts into their rhymes, and yeah, sometimes you take it for granted. Like, it's worth, I'm not mad that I butchered their lyrics, butchered his lyrics, but I do like that moment of just reading his lyrics out loud and making sense out of it. And that's it. That's about it, man. That's about it. All right, okay. Got through my 86th episode. 87th episode. Shout out to myself and shout out to you for listening. And I'm going to conclude this, today's episode. As always, you can holler at me via Twitter until Elon Musk drops it to the ground, runs it to the ground, via at @BBlizzak or Shut Up Podcast, on TikTok via B.Black. But do me a favor, instead of giving the white man some visit, just go straight to the website of the podcast, and it's shutuppodcast.com. When I call myself Mr. Shut Up Podcast, that's my way of getting you to remember that the website is called shutuppodcast.com. shutuppodcast.com. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I gotta make a jingle out of it, right? But yeah, shutuppodcast.com. And if you're like old school on that old school email shit, you can email me via shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. What? What's that? Why aren't I on other platforms? That's a very good question. But one thing, I'll tell you this, because I was still figuring out what this fucking podcast is about, because I'm being more confident with knowing what I don't know, being confident with the unconfidence. I'm trying to say something deep, but whatever, right? I will be putting myself out there. All right. Yeah. Putting myself out there. But for now, RSS feed on the website, or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. Hey, yo, seriously, man, this is like a very important part of the podcast where I say thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Yo, peace.
I am your king now.